I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, today as we talk about our emotional center, as we talk about things that try to hijack our feelings and our emotions, God, as we talk about love that deeply comes from you, I can't help but name that there's a lot that's on my mind and my heart this morning. God, I continue to pray for those in Texas who have lost loved ones as they rebuild. God, for storms that have gone through North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, not recently, but God, that have affected lives that are still rebuilding, for areas of the world that are war-torn. God, for immigrants who are terrified, for those that have lost their jobs, and God, so many more things that we hold on to right now. And God, I do pray that we are the people called the church that respond to these realities in the world, that we listen for the nudge of your Holy Spirit, that we are encouraged to do something. So God, as I share today, as we finish up this series, I pray somehow that you might speak through me. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want each of us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do finish up this Real Reflections series this morning, and I have some hopes that I hope have come out of this for you. I hope that these have made you just more aware of art. I hope they've made you aware of more aware of intersections between faith and life. I hope they've simply made you think about worship as an act beyond Sunday mornings. I mean, that's my hope that comes out of this, that this isn't just, oh, that was a fun sermon because I liked that movie, but that you really dig deeply and say, how can my life be transformed? How can God speak to me through the different ways that I experience all throughout the day? Because God is forever speaking. God did not stop speaking with the Bible. God continues to speak to you and to me throughout the day, and God doesn't speak more to me than God speaks to you. We have to be attuned to listening. So today, we're going to take a step into this final movie. And this movie is a sequel of a movie. And I have to say, sequels are usually not as good, but this one breaks that stereotype. This is Inside Out 2. If you haven't seen this movie yet, I want to encourage you to see it. And some of you all will sleep on this movie. You'll say, I don't watch animated movies. Well, here's the truth. Pixar is not officially animated, first of all. But second of all, don't sleep on this movie. It is an incredible movie that tells the story of emotions, and it takes from the first movie to the second movie, we get to more complex emotions. We get to more complex feelings. I want to encourage you to see this movie. In the first movie, we're introduced to the character Riley, and we're introduced to all these different emotions and feelings that she has in her emotional headquarters in her head. She has joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. And you watch these different emotions and these different feelings try to navigate her life as she has to go through a pretty traumatic change. She moves and she leaves all of her friends as her parents move her. And I think that's a really big deal. I think this movie was potent because it gives us context of why sometimes we can't sleep at night. Because all these different things are going on, all these different feelings, all these different things are working against each other in our head. We have the feeling about this, and a feeling about this, and they're different emotions that influence our ability to navigate life, to navigate our feelings. They influence our actions, our words. For some of us, we watched this movie and we said, it finally all makes sense. I see why I don't sleep. I see why I have anxiety. I see why I'm conflicted about things. So now in the sequel, new emotions are introduced. Riley's growing up and her life is becoming more complex, and her new emotions are anxiety, envy, apathy or ennui, and embarrassment. These emotions, a lot of people will often name them as bad. Anybody ever said it's bad to be embarrassed? It's bad to have anxiety. It's bad to have envy. It's bad to have apathy. And I don't think each of these emotions in and of themselves are bad. I think that's what we tell our kids when they're younger, and that's a problem. Because we tell our children, you cannot feel. You cannot feel how you feel. However you feel is wrong. We have a new puppy in our house, and we're trying to correct her without telling her that all of her energy is bad. Right? Her emotions, her energy, they're not bad. And we talked a little bit last week about how our emotional control panel can kind of be taken over, and it can keep us from loving. And I want to talk this week about how our emotions and our feelings sometimes become a blockade from moving from the idea of love to the action of love, right? The idea of love is a great one, but the action of love is the real one. And I want to encourage you to watch this clip that comes from the movie. It's our response. It's talking about the response to how to avoid these extra emotions. Check out this clip.
Behold, my super high-tech Riley protection system. Don't look, it's fine. This is for all those memories that belong in the back of the mind. Like this penalty one. It's weighing on her, so let's lighten the load. A one-way expressway to, we're not gonna think about that right now. Woo! That's pretty impressive.
You take such good care of Riley.
Thanks, I try. Okay, let's do a sweep. Oh, here's one where she waved at a guy who was actually waving at a girl behind her.
Oh, that was so bad. Good choice.
Oh, here's when she forgot that girl's name.
Oh, yeah, that was super awkward.
What was her name?
I don't know, Janet or something. Whatever, let's just get rid of it. Oh. We keep the best and toss the rest.
We're just not going to think about that right now. Right, that emotion, that thing. Does anybody else get so overwhelmed by all of those things? Like you had an interaction with somebody and you come back and you're like, oh, I said the wrong name. Or you had a feeling about something, you said, I should have done more, I should have said more. You drive past someone who's unhoused on the street and you say, I should have. Anybody else? Does it resonate with anybody else? Where it affects the rest of your day, the rest of your hour, the rest of your evening, the rest of your week sometimes. You do a job interview and you're like, there were 14 things I should have said. Here's what I want to name, friends. Those emotions are not bad. Feelings are not bad. The thing that becomes troublesome is when we allow them to inhibit us from living. When we allow them to inhibit us from doing the things that we're called to do, when we allow them to inhibit us from doing these beautiful things, when these big feelings keep us from moving into action, from caring. And I think there's a lot of things going on in the world right now that maybe we want to take action about, but we have this emotional center that says, don't do it. If you do it, somebody might be mad at you. If you do it, you might offend someone. If you do it, it might, and we get caught up in a way that we cannot love because we might be rejected, because we might have other people think that we shouldn't have done it. Here's the thing. As we grow, as we mature, we face new challenges in life. New things come up. New feelings emerge. Right? I'm having new feelings in my life now as one of my kids is going off to college. And they're different than the feelings were when I took him to kindergarten. New emotions, new ways that I'm thinking about his life. These emotions get bigger. And when we try to bottle them all up, it's never good for anybody. It's never good, friends. We move away from living into our full selves and our emotional console becomes hijacked and imbalanced. We become reactive, not responsive. Anybody else ever reactive? I am. Where I just react. Because I don't allow it to process and my emotional center gets hijacked, my control center gets hijacked, and I don't allow myself to process what's going on. I still remember a time early in our marriage when I had a panic attack. I had never had one before. I was convinced I was having a heart attack. I'm serious. And it was so overwhelming. And I remember I went in and I took some Pepto because I said, what if it's indigestion or something like that? And then I threw up and it was pink. And if you read on the website, a sign of a heart attack on WebMD is pink throw up, right? So I was convinced I'm having a heart attack at 24 years old, 25 years old. And I remember that thing, I became really reactive. My wife was trying to sit with me and I was like, I just need you to get away, go away. I wasn't responding. I was allowing all of these things to take over. And listen, panic attacks are real. They really happen for folks. The question is, how do we navigate them? How do we walk together through them? Many people have them. How do we walk through life in a way that leads to actions around our emotions? I want to look at 1 John chapter 4 today. I want to look at this words that come. It says, dear friends, let's love each other. Because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. This is how we know we remain in him and he remains in us, because he has given us a measure of his spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is actually a text about law, and I don't talk about law often because we often think law is about what you should eat and what you should wear and who you should love and all that stuff. No. This text says law is that God loves and we love. All. Unconditionally. That's what the text says. God is love, and therefore the law is we have to love others. It all starts with God. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. It says, dear friends, let's love each other because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God because God is love. Ooh, that's a strong phrase, isn't it? It's saying if you do not love, you do not know God. If you do not show love, you do not know God. I remember when I was a little kid, there was this song that we would sing, and it was, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. The song was not, they will know we are Christians by our fish bumper sticker. It was not, they will know we are Christians by the fact that we go to church. It was not, they will know we are Christians because of all the things we say to people. No, they will know we are Christians by our love. And frankly, that's by our actions. The way that we love people, the way that we engage people, even people with whom we disagree, they will know we are Christians by our love. And this text seems to say that if we do not love, we don't know God. We don't experience that love of God if we can't share that love with the world. It's a pretty bold statement. If love is not at the forefront of our lives, if love is not in our actions, in our daily lives, then this text would say, then we don't know God. We may know of God, but we don't know God, because to know God is to love. I mean, that seems, it is a lot of words to get to that. And maybe it just needed to be said over and over again in different ways so that we could be transformed in that. But if we do not know love, if we do not love, we do not know God. It's a repetitive theme in verses 7 and 10. We love because God first loved us. And although the writer seems to say that love comes from God, the author ends by saying, love for God and neighbor go hand in hand. So you say, Tim, what does this have to do with the movie? How do our emotions play into this? How do our feelings play into this? This passage gives us a bit of a break. It says that before we can manage these emotions, before we hold responsibility for them, we need to come to understand that sense of stability in our lives, which is God, the God of love. As we come to understand the God of love, it will shift the way we experience our emotions. God doesn't just talk about our need for love. This text says, no. God showed us. God sent God's only son to be a human so that we could understand how to love. I mean, it puts it out there so clearly. God sends Jesus so that. Now, it doesn't say so that Jesus could die for our sins. We get so caught up on that. It says God sent Jesus so that we could understand love, so that we could know love. See, when our emotions try to hijack what we're doing in life and what we're feeling, and they scream, what if? Anybody else get that emotion? What if God says, I'm with you? When envy says, I am not enough or I don't have enough, God says, you are enough. If we could take the time to really know God and experience God and ground ourselves in God's love, then emotional hijacking will not be as prevalent in our lives. Doesn't mean we won't have emotions. It doesn't mean we won't deal with anxiety. It doesn't mean that we won't have crises of mental health. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is it means that we will know even in the midst of each of those that God is with us and God is love. And that transforms the way we interact with the world. Now, here's what I am not saying. If you leave today and you hear this, I want to be very clear. This is what I'm not saying. I am not saying that struggles with mental health are a result of a lack of faith or a lack of belief in God. No way. Absolutely not. I am not saying that at all. We will still have panic attacks. We will still have emotional control hijacking. We will still have our control center taken over. What I am saying is that when we are grounded in God's love, and that is the voice that is in our head that tells us that we are enough, God tells us we are loved, you are loved. That transforms the way we interact with the world. There's a scene near the end of the movie when this emotion has taken over Riley. And Joy has removed this fake sense of self that she's forced into being, and Riley begins to grow into her own, and things start to change for her. She starts to experience all the feelings and all the emotion. Positive realities start to enter her mind. She moves from I'm selfish to I'm kind. She moves from I'm not good enough to I'm a good person. She moves from I need to fit in to I want to be myself. She has to go in the penalty box if you've seen the movie because she's been too harsh with her friends. She's been too mean. And in that moment, she apologizes to them. She says, I'm sorry that I was there. She showed love to them and her friends showed her grace and they came right back with her and it transformed things. In that moment, she took action. In that moment, she showed love and it transformed her relationship with others. She stopped allowing those things in her head that told her she wasn't good enough, she didn't have enough, she needed to do certain things, and she simply started being herself. And then she moved, and we have to move to that next step of demonstrating that to the world. How do we show the world God's love? How do we show them that they are enough, that they are loved, that they are important, that they matter? It's moving from the idea of love to the action of love. Remember I said the text earlier was about law? It was about who we were supposed to be because God loved us. God's law is not who we can love. God's love, God's mandate is that we love. Look at verses 13 through 15 again. This is how we know we remain in him and he remains in us, because he's given us a measure of his spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If any of us confesses that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us and we remain in God. Friends, the Holy Spirit, when we allow it to come into our lives, compels us towards peace and love. The Holy Spirit does not compel us towards combating. The Holy Spirit does not compel us towards always being right. The Holy Spirit does compel us towards justice. That is action in love. But as we walk through life with other people, the Holy Spirit calls us to take a pause when our emotional control center is overtaken. Our church heard loud and clear about 2 years ago this calling to care about mental health, to care about wellness. It's why we've launched this 501c3 Wellness Loudoun. It's why we're building a building out here to serve our community in the areas of mental health and wellness. Friends, we are not trying to say in any way, shape, or form that mental health, that struggles with mental health are antithetical to God. In fact, we're trying to say that God wants to walk beside us and along us. It's why we're offering a workshop here on August 7th. It's an anxiety yoga workshop. I want to encourage you, sign up for it. Nancy McGovern is going to lead it. It's going to talk to us about how to walk through these things, how to go to love, how to manage the emotional control center. I mean, it's a really important thing. We believe in this so much as a church, that we believe that God has called us in this community at this time, in this season, to walk with people because it matters. Our way of showing action through love is to do this. Our calling of showing action through love is to do this. I want to invite you to think about something this week. I want to invite you to think about an emotional inventory. If you think about all of the different emotions that I shared with you that happened in the original Inside Out and Inside Out 2, is there one that's hijacking you right now? Is it anger? Is it fear? Are you hijacked by apathy? Ennui? Are you hijacked by embarrassment? Envy? Is there something in your life that's hijacking you right now from loving other people that's getting in the way? I want to encourage you to think about that. I want to encourage you to think, how do I allow the love of God to counteract that emotion and that feeling that I'm having right now? I want to invite you into a moment right now. I'm going to invite Zach to come up. And I want you to think, can I do my emotional inventory? Can the Holy Spirit impact me in this moment right now as I listen to this song? Can I allow those things to sort of step to the side for just a moment to see clearly how I'm loving, who I need to love, how I can step out in love? Not just that I need to love, but what actions do I need to take? I'm going to end this time with prayer. I'm going to come back when Zach's done. I'm going to end it with prayer. And I want you to think, how can I allow the Holy Spirit to take over that control center? Maybe even for just a moment right now. Maybe listen to the words and hear the words of God saying, you're enough. You're loved. You matter. You're gifted. You have value. Hear those words. And think about how we can share those words with others. So let's listen to this song and allow the Holy Spirit to walk with us.
Restless soul, and you are peace. my thoughts wage war. You are peace for my anxious heart. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are peace when my fear takes hold. And you are peace when I feel it. That's who you are. That's who you are. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are here over the flood, and I will be still. You are God. I will be still. Know you are God. I will be still. Know you are God.
God, can we be still? God, can we know in the midst of all the things that are trying to hijack us, that you are God? God, I pray for every single person. It's here, it's online. Who's struggling with each of our own things, who's walking through our own emotions, who's feeling feelings of, I'm not enough. I'm too this. I'm too that. What if this happens? What if that happens? God, that we might be able to allow the Holy Spirit to pause us, to walk beside these feelings, and to bring that experience of your positive love and grace in our lives, that we might then go out and share that with the world. God, it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming to feel in such a big way. I know what that's like. But God, let us experience your love and let us share that with the world. The world is hurting. The world is in pain. Let us move from the nice idea of love to the action of love. Come, Holy Spirit, and push us, encourage us. Amen.